going to see a lot of more outside market influence weighing into our trade today. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX, and I wanted to kind of start out first with the whole crude. When you look at the Brent crude and the WTI crude, what are you seeing for the spreads on that, and how is this going to filter back to us in agriculture?
Yeah, pretty significant. Spreads are highest between Brent and WTI, West Texas Intermediate, and I think in the last like 6-7 years, as we're seeing a very divergent fundamentals there. If you look at U.S. crude oil stocks, they actually went up over the past week, and they're very near normal, the five-year average for this time of year. And so that's excluding the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That's just commercial supplies. So the Iran war is not cutting into U.S. supplies. Now, we have increased imports from Mexico and Venezuela, and that's helping keep those supplies there. But the shortage is really in the Asian market. Even Brent is more of a North Atlantic market, and production there isn't affected. But some of the major customers of the Arab states and the Middle East are Asian markets. Now, China has big reserves built up. They can go a while, but many other Asian countries do not. And so we're seeing fuel shortages pop up, high prices, and significantly higher prices than what either WTI or Brent reflect. And in fact, those fuel shortages I mentioned, Singapore is a major refueling hub for ships, and they're said to be about ready to run out of fuel because of not getting oil to refine from the Middle East because the shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz. And so we're seeing the bulk, dry bulk carriers that carry grain get last priority on getting grain. We're seeing some ships simply change to the Atlantic to try to get business there, things that they can haul. Freight rates for everybody is going up, and that's inflationary. So when you look at today's rise, where Brent rallied to just within a nickel of $110 per barrel, WTI generally about $11 below that, that's because Israel struck Iran's massive Pars gas field today. Now, that is a big escalation of the war from that sense. The first time we've really hit a major infrastructure project in related to energy. And Iran immediately threatened within the next few hours that it was going to target energy infrastructure of countries around it, its neighboring countries. Raising fears. Now, I think this is very significant. They said in the next few hours, do they have the capacity to do that? Did Israel wait until we had curtailed that ability to do that enough, or will they do that? That's going to really tell us a lot here today. If they are able to still strike, then we have more work to do. But the significance beyond that is the assumption was always that once the Strait of Hormuz gets opened up again, which could happen soon, then oil flow and fertilizer flow could go back to normal. But if the infrastructure has been damaged, you can't produce additional oil. You have to repair the infrastructure, and that same energy is necessary for fertilizer production as well. And so this could be a much longer shortfall of both energy and fertilizer.
What do you see with the ethanol stock numbers at this point?
Running pretty close to normal, actually a little bit above normal overall. We're seeing production be strong, backed off a little bit this week. Very similar production to a year ago levels, but our efficiency of producing that ethanol is improving, and so we're using less corn to make it. I think if we look at the year-to-date estimated corn use, it's running around 29 million bushels below year-ago levels. And overall, corn use, estimated corn use for the marketing year, the corn marketing year, about 44 million bushels below the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target for the whole year's corn use. And it's because of our increased efficiencies. And of course, it emphasizes once again the need to get E15 year-round to get that through Congress so that we can increase the consumption of corn, our surplus corn, that is, in order to produce ethanol, particularly at a time now when fuel prices are high to cheapen up that fuel.
Is there concerns or should we be worried about the corn versus bean acres because of the fertilizer shortages that we're expecting because the Strait of Hormuz still being closed?
Well, that's certainly a factor, but I think this really got started yesterday when the White House announced the celebration of Ag Day at the end of next week, on March 27th, in which they invited farmers and they invited biofuel producers. And that raised speculation that we're going to see the final biofuel regulations, known as the RVOs, announced at that time, and that apparently they're going to be good enough in the White House's view to celebrate, to have this event. And so that gave a bullish sense to fund managers about the demand for feedstock, specifically soy oil. And we saw November now has had two strong days of rallying, trying to buy acres for next year. Well, you're also at a time when corn, as you said, faces high fertilizer prices, with some speculating it will see a reduction in corn acreage as well. And so corn, December corn in particular, has been trying to rally to be able to hang on to enough acres to supply its needs. So soybeans started it, but corn is certainly joining in the fight as well to protect its acreage.
We, of course, have got here in Nebraska, 828,000 acres has burned so far. At what point do you think the cattle market might start paying attention a little bit to this lost spring and summer grazing and the cow-calf operations?
Yeah, really sad to see what's happening. And it illustrates just how dry we continue to be in the plains and the problems there. The cattle market really not paying attention because the fund managers really aren't seeing the stories. We're not seeing the coverage in the news outlets that that the investors, the speculative funds follow. And so, therefore, we're not seeing it. We're down today. Now, we were up yesterday on expectations that we're going to see firmer cash this week, tightening supplies. We certainly had the cattle on feed report on Friday, which is going to show incremental losses from year-ago levels, but year-ago levels were already low. But when you lose those cow-calf pairs, you're losing the future at a time when we should be rebuilding. And so it's going in the wrong direction to try to rebuild our supplies. And it comes at a time when demand for protein, especially beef, appears to be inelastic and at record high levels.
So speaking of beef and demand, I had seen a blurb that came out of the mainstream media that said, due to current oil prices per barrel, the cost of beef is going to go up, which will affect consumers. A little bit play on two different, total different worlds at this point?
Yeah, it really is. We're seeing a lot of that in the media. I saw a story from one of the major wire services yesterday talking about how because of the strike at the JBS Greeley, Colorado plant, that there is going to be less beef available to the consumer. No, there won't. Those animals will still be harvested, maybe at a different plant, at a higher cost to transport those animals, but the animals will still get harvested. And so it's a lack of understanding, but also attempt to the media to try to create stories that don't exist.
And I thought it was interesting, too, because you shared yesterday Kansas State University study talked about the current run-up in beef prices and what's been on the store shelves.
Yeah, a K-State study revealing that these record beef prices are largely due to demand, not the cut in supply. If you look at the supply of beef in the United States this year, it's estimated to be up 0.8% from last year. A larger supply of beef available to consumers this year than last year. That's at a time when the numbers of cattle in the United States are the lowest that they've been in roughly, 75 years or so. So how do you make that work? Well, first of all, our carcass weights are much higher. The economics has encouraged filling that deficit with larger animals. And so we look at the beef carcass weights that last reported for last week. They were over 100 pounds heavier than they were in 2014. And we're seeing record imports of beef, largely from Australia and Brazil, largely for hamburger, et cetera. But those between imports, larger carcass weights, We've been offsetting the fewer numbers, and the actual beef supply is larger than year-ago levels.
All right, Arlen Suderman joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.